Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined once again by Peter Marsh.
Hello there.
Hello there. On today's episode, we are talking about from the year 2017, Saban's Power Rangers. Last week, we talked about the 1995 movie, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie. If you hadn't heard that, go up on the feed and listen to it. So, Peter, here we are.
Yes.
Directed by Dean Israelite. Saban got his name on this. Saban's Power Rangers. So this was a reboot attempt.
It was. You know, you mentioned Saban. Saban actually lost the rights to the Power Rangers at one point before this movie. It was owned by Disney at one point.
Right. And then Disney did not know what to do with it and sold it back to him for a song. So he ended up getting it back and making so much because in the original deal where it was sold, he made a lot of money on that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a smart businessman.
But this movie was a bomb. Did you know that?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. I'll come right out of the gate and say I like this movie a lot. I still think that this is a good movie, and I have some ideas of how it could be better.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't totally understand why it's a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're going to reboot it again because that's what you do. But I really wish this had gone on.
Yeah, I actually love this movie. I watched this with my daughter for this show, right? I'd seen it when it came out. I watched it with my daughter. She's 10 years old. And it was just a great bonding experience between me and my daughter.
Awesome. Awesome.
This is probably one of her favorite movies that she's watched with me like in the past year.
That's fantastic. That's such great news. I'm glad that your family loves it as much as I love it.
Yeah. It was $105 million to make it, and it made $142 million. And so usually that's considered a bomb because you often include the advertising, which is like just as much as the budget of the movie. Right. So I think the reason why it didn't do as well is because it seemed very serious, the marketing. And I think that they were really going for this sort of Chronicle angle because Chronicle had come out kind of recently before it. I think that people that are like true Power Rangers fans, because there's a big fan base, and I think that they maybe were not on board for this like serious take on it.
Yeah, I don't think they were. I don't think they were going for the Power Rangers fan base. I think that they were going for superhero fans, and I think they were going for people like myself who were fans of the original show and were older now and maybe might like a sort of Batman Begins version of Power Rangers. You know, it's funny, they say the word superhero multiple times in the movie, and I can't help but cynically think that that was a marketing choice, because as much as I love the original Power Rangers, and obviously they are superheroes, I never thought of them as superheroes. They're the Power Rangers. It's a different thing. But in this, even in the trailer, they have Trini being like, I'm a superhero, or I think I'm a superhero. So it felt like they really were like, yeah, superhero movies are what kids want. Let's try to, let's let them know this is a superhero movie.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. There's at one point when Billy Cranston says, are we superheroes? So are we superheroes like Iron Man? Are we superheroes like Superman? I think he says. He like compares himself to those two.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think in general, there's always been, if a character has armor, they've tried to capture that Iron Man vibe in a movie.
Yeah.
They did that with like G.I. Joe when they tried to like reboot G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
They gave them like suits like Iron Man, and people catch on to that shit and they don't want anything to do with it.
Right. But especially when it seems transparent.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And also, I'm sure, like, I'm just a fan of the original show. So I didn't follow with it. And I know you've seen a lot of it. And I know there are, you know, young fans now too. So I didn't feel betrayed by it. But I could imagine being a long hauler Power Rangers fan and feeling like this is trying to be Power Rangers without being Power Rangers.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the movie that we just talked about last week came out in 1995, right? And so there have been fans like since then. And there have been fans that have come in way later that have come in with newer versions of Power Rangers in space, Power Rangers Lost Galaxy, Time Force, whatever, right? And so they know what that brand is like. That brand's been around for decades. And so this was saying, this is something different, and we're retelling it, but with the characters that you know and love.
Right.
Because in our last episode, I mentioned how the fans always pick that first team, that team of like Jason and Trini and Zach and Tommy even too, right? And so to like cast new people in those roles, I think that bothered original fans.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's so funny. If you compare this film to other films you can see its glaring problems. But if you compare this film to the film we talked about last week, oh, it's Citizen Kane. I mean, first of all, the Power Rangers have characters. They're actual characters in this. You know, they may not be the most fleshed out characters, but they're characters. I mean, at least in this, you know, they don't totally like each other until halfway through the movie. That alone is a little bit of tension.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they kind of try to do the Breakfast Club thing if they all come from different walks of life. Trini is bisexual, but not so bisexual that she'll say it out loud and upset upset audiences. Kimberly is a cyberbully. Jason got caught jerking off a cow or a bull.
Well, no. Jason didn't jerk off the bull, man. His friend jerked off the bull.
That's such a bad way to start this movie, that joke.
Tell me about it. But that sequence is great because, like, they got that bull in the locker room. They go to leave, and then they have that car chase.
It's one shot.
Yeah, exactly. What the fuck are we watching? Is this like Whiplash or something? You know, I couldn't believe, you know, that was a great way of showing that this is totally different from your
bad mess ups.
Power Rangers.
Right. The Power Rangers of the original show, they were like model teenagers. They were teenagers, but they didn't do anything bad. They were into extracurricular activities. They were heroes. Even the bullies, they kind of treated okay.
Yes.
In this, they're really teenagers. And, you know, with the exception of Billy, they're not perfect.
No.
And there's no Bulk and Skull in this. There is one bully who I think in some ways replaces Bulk and Skull, but I think they were smart to not do Bulk and Skull.
I completely agree. He was pretty vicious too. At one point he goes to break Billy's wrist.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit. I kind of forgot that when I first saw it. I was like, that's intense. And he gets his, of course, which is great. But I kind of wanted to talk about the characters, like what got them placed at that program too. Because there's a little bit of confusion about that. Like Jason, I get he does that like prank, I guess, because he feels pressure about being this football star.
He's got a Varsity Blues storyline with his dad.
Right, right.
His dad is Roy from The Office.
Yes. And you know what? It's taken me up until this episode to find out that actor's name too. That guy, his name is... I wrote it down. I had to read past Krispy Kreme over here.
I know. it's funny because of The Office, I feel like we're primed to not like him. We're primed to see his face and not trust him.
Yes, yes. He, the thing is, though, he's in like a whole bunch of things recently, and I love him. He's in Mayor of Easttown. He plays her ex-husband. He's in one of my favorite recent movies. Logan Lucky. Right.
Oh yeah, he is in that. Yeah, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And so when I saw him in this, I was like, oh yeah, he's Jason's dad. I love that guy.
Yeah. And I don't think did you ever really see their parents and stuff in the original show?
No.
Like in this, they're like real kids. They've got parents, they've got lives, they've got pasts.
Yes.
They have their own friends.
Yeah. Well,
you see them at school like being kids.
Yeah, they're at that lunch line, you know, they're getting their school lunches, you know, the cartons of milk and shit. But I was going to ask you, like, what is Kimberly's reason for being there? You said she was a cyber bully. I feel like that what she did got lost in scripts or something. Like, they maybe wrote multiple scripts and it doesn't make sense.
Well, there's a reason for that.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what it's supposed to be.
Go ahead.
She was like a mean girl. Her friend sent her a nude picture of herself saying, do you like this picture? I'm going to send it to my boyfriend. And just to be mean, Kimberly sent that picture out to everyone. And she got caught, and there's a scene later on in the movie where she sneaks into Jason's bedroom and is like, let me tell you my backstory. And she's like, I made this big mistake. I was mean. And I saw the girl's father's face when he saw the picture of his daughter that I sent everybody. I kind of like it because it's not victim blaming. It's not blaming the girl for taking the picture. It's blaming Kimberly for spreading it. But that scene is cut up a lot because in that scene in the bedroom, Jason and Kimberly kiss they were like, you know what? We don't want to do this. And they cut it.
I see.
In the version now, there is some tension between them, but they cut out that kiss. So who knows what else they had to reshape in that scene?
I see. Okay. Yeah. Cause I was confused because she also says that she knocked out her ex-boyfriend's tooth. Right.
Yeah. Right. What the fuck was that? Yeah. It is weird.
Yeah. Because I was thinking like maybe in an original version of the script, it was a picture of her that was going around naked.
Well, maybe.
It, like, he spread it, and then she punched his tooth out. Like, that's what I was thinking.
And Saban was like, you can't have the pink Power Rangers fucking boobs all over.
Exactly. He's like, Kimberly went around with a white shirt up to her chest and low-cut jeans for three seasons. But yeah. This girl's got to be pure, you know? Yeah.
I love, she does that movie thing where she's upset, so she cuts her hair off, but she cuts it off perfect salon. Like, it looks absolutely gorgeous. Like, there's a scene where one of the girls who's, like, bullying her or her old friends is like, nice haircut. And I'm thinking, like, yeah, it's a great, it is a nice haircut. It's a great haircut. Like, it doesn't look weird at all.
Yeah. That's a great scene. I mean, it's so dramatic. The friend goes into the bathroom and, like, cuts her out of the picture and then stabs the scissors into the wall. It's this perfect setup for her to cut her hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. So then Billy is in that, program because he blew up his lunchbox, right?
Right. Billy, I really love what they did with Billy. They made Billy someone on the autism spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he's one of the best characters, I think, in the movie. As a kid, I was like, oh, Billy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, every other Power Ranger was cooler than Billy.
Right, of course. But I think, like, discussing him, we should probably address the ethnicities, right? Because they sort of fixed something in this version from the original.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Right? So, like, in the original version, you know, you have the Yellow Ranger is the Asian American, and then they have African American who's the Black Ranger, right? And so they switched it. You know, now you have this Asian American who's the Black Ranger, right?
Right.
And
I think African American. Trini, I think, is Latinx.
Yeah.
And bi, but again, not explicitly bi. It's very like for 2017, they could have went further with that.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of
Just
course.
Make her be bi.
Yeah. Yeah. Always with these,
or
like,
gay, whatever.
Yeah. With these, like, superhero movies or these movies that are kind of based on kids' properties, they always play it real safe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
With that being said, though, this movie does get kind of dark in a few different places.
Yeah.
I think that's why my daughter liked it so much, because it's just intense to begin with. When they go to the school, you know, Billy's being picked on by that one kid, and Jason has that car accident at the very beginning. You know, that scene with the friends confronting Kimberly.
Right. We have a sort of cold opening of Zordon fighting. Zordon is the Red Ranger. It actually feels like they were in some ways taking some cues from the 2015 fan film Power/Rangers, the one with James Vanderbeek.
Yes.
Which has a very similar opening. You see him fighting, you see he's the Red Ranger, you see his Yellow Ranger, some alien, she dies. You see Rita is the Green Ranger, and he's dying, and he buries, he says, like, Alpha, hit the planet with a meteor, which, okay. Yep. So I guess Zordon's the reason why the dinosaurs died out.
Makes sense, yeah.
And he buries the power coins, which we still call them power coins, but they don't really look like coins. They're not really coins in this.
Yeah, it's like painted rocks, kind
of. Yeah. and then we get into Power Rangers. Just very simple. It's not, it just says Power Rangers on, like, the lower third of the screen. Like,
right. And very basic letters, too. Yeah. And there's no music over that either. It's just black screen. Yeah. But just that first scene just kind of cracks me up, because it's like Saving Private Ryan or something.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty intense sci-fi.
Yeah.
It really throws you into it. And it's like, oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know what? But, you know, like I was saying in last week's episode, I kind of always did want to know more about Zordon and what his deal was. And I kind of like what they do with Zordon in this movie. I like that he's part of the ship. I like that the command center is his ship.
Yeah.
Kind of like what they did with the Forces of Solitude and Man of Steel. They made the ship.
Very good point.
I like the way they, I should say off the top, I like all the designs in this movie. I love the way their costumes look. I like the way Zordon looks. I love the way Alpha 5 looks. Like Nebula head. Like, I really, so I know a lot of people when it first came out, or when the trailer first came out, were like, what is this, the Guyver? Like, it looked like people were really upset with it. I love it. I love that sparkly look. I have no problem with any of the designs in this movie.
I think that maybe I have a little bit of a problem with some of the Zords, because I feel like they look, they're not as, like, defined.
Yeah.
I like the Megazord itself when it's all together. I think it looks really cool.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
But yeah, Zordon, the command center. I don't really like the putties really that much either.
Well, they're just rock creatures, which doesn't make sense because their name is Putty. So it doesn't even make sense, really. That yeah.
And then besides that, I think maybe the thing I actually like the least is Goldar.
Okay, I kind of like Goldar because he's not really a character. He's a giant like thing. I kind of like the way he looks. I like that he never kind of becomes solid.
Yeah,
and he basically becomes like her Zord.
Right,
because Rita gets into him. I should say the thing that I like the least of this movie, and I think the thing that I think works the least is the Rita character way Elizabeth Banks plays her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't dislike Elizabeth Banks, but I feel like she should have went one way or the other. She should have went more serious or more silly. Serious probably would have been better because that's more the tone of the movie. But if she had gone silly and had more fun, it might have worked a little bit. But she's kind of in between and she's kind of doing her own thing. I don't know. She's like the leprechaun because she's like, I want me gold. she's the weakest. Another thing that was cut out was there's a scene where she threatens Trini and they shot a scene where she licks Trini's face and they cut it out because they felt it was too sexually menacing. Which it was. So it's like, I don't know what they were doing with that character. Other than the idea that she is the Green Ranger, no other choice I liked.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that one too. I mean, I like the fact that she's kind of scary in the first few times that you see her. But I was thinking about this while I was watching it. The characters that you like the most, that you enjoy watching the most, and maybe you agree with me, are like Billy and Jason. And then, of course, Zordon, because it's Bryan Cranston, right? And then Bill Hader is Alpha 5.
Right.
So, like, you like them. And Zach is pretty charismatic, too. But I'd say the characters that are the interesting or, like, I don't want to spend as much time with are Trini and Rita. So once you get to the scene where it's Trini and Rita together, it's supposed to be this intense scene. I'm just like, can we just get through this?
Right. I think Kimberly, Jason, and Billy...
Yeah,
are the most defined. And then Zach and Trini are much less defined. Zach's whole character is he's like an adrenaline junkie.
Yeah,
that's basically his thing. And then we learn that his mother's sick. And Trini's is more just like she moves around a lot. She's kind of like an army brat. And she doesn't make friends very well.
Yeah.
So their characters are much more thin.
One of the choices they made was for her to not talk a lot, which that might work in a certain kind of movie. But in a movie with like an ensemble cast like this, with all these big concepts, she just gets lost in the shuffle, you know?
Yeah, she does. But again, this is heads and tails better than the original show, where their character was basically just their color. Like, what's your character? I'm blue.
Yeah.
Like, at least they have characters and at least they clash a little bit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's actually a scene where Jason and Zach are going to like fight.
Yes,
right?
That's a good scene because that's the scene where Billy first morphs.
Yes. Yeah. The whole movie kind of almost seems like erectile dysfunction for a while, right? Because in our last episode, you were talking about how it's like, oh, when can they morph? When can they morph? Right? Like, let's get to it. But in this, it's like they can't morph. You know, they have that problem. They have to come together as a team. And so that conflict between them is what keeps them from becoming Power Rangers.
It's got
a whole friggin' arc. It's wonderful.
Yeah. I guess we should say what happens is they all end up somehow in this quarry. Billy does an explosion because that's his thing.
Right.
And they find the power coins. They each get a power coin. They get hit by a train but live. And I don't know. I understand how they live because they've got super strength now, but I don't understand how they got home. It doesn't really make sense.
It does not. No.
And now they have superpowers like Jason like hits his sink and he breaks the sink and Kimberly breaks her phone. And so they've got super strength and the suits are nanotechnology that Zordon says is already inside of them. So they will morph. It's almost like it's like Peter Pan flying. Like you got to believe, like you can't just morph. You've got to find the morph. They have to be a team. Now, I think that was actually a good writing choice that they can't be a team. They can't morph because there's discord between them. It's not until the end where Billy like fake dies and they're like, they all say that they would die for each other that then they morph.
Yes. Yes. When you think about the idea of the power coins in this movie, and this idea that they need to access the Morphin Grid, okay? That they mentioned the Morphin Grid multiple times in this movie, right? The Morphin Grid has been a part of Power Rangers since the very first show. And in the first show, it's just like a throwaway line. Like, he's like, oh, Alpha, we got to contact the Morphin Grid or some bullshit like that. But in the comics and stuff, when they actually take the lore very seriously, they treat the Morphin Grid as like this sacred thing, this like where their power comes from. And they do that in this movie. And I think that the idea with the coins in this movie and with these characters is that essentially, like, they all have to be in sync with each other to access that grid, you know? And it's with Billy's death that they're finally able to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, something I wanted to ask you, because you are much more familiar with the series than I am.
Yeah.
They use the word Zeo a lot in this movie. The Zeo, and I'm wondering, I know there was Zeo, like, is it, are they just using the word, or is it actually relating to the lore of Zeo and all that?
Oh, man. See, this is where it gets embarrassing as, like, a nerd, because, like, I almost got, like, an erection. You're just, like, asking me that. I'm like, oh, wait, did someone just ask me to explain the Zeo crystals? I promise I'll make it short and sweet, but basically...
No, you don't have to.
Oh, okay, well, then let's take the next hour.
5 hours later.
right. You know, the next version of Power Rangers after the first version is called Power Rangers Zeo. And the Rangers find this Zeo crystal, which is underneath their command center. Mm. And it makes them the most powerful version of Power Rangers, like, ever. Mm. Like, the Zeo crystal itself. It's the source of their power in that Power Rangers Zeo show. Mm. And in all the rest of the different versions of Power Rangers, they always kind of talk about these crystals as being, like, almost like the Infinity Stones in the Marvel Universe. Like, they're super powerful.
So then they're really different here, right? Because here it's supposed to be like that's where life comes from. It's almost like the AllSpark in the Transformers movies.
Yes, that's a very good point. In this movie, in the very beginning, they mention how it's on, like, every planet that has life. So it's almost kind of like the Force, right? Because with the Force, like, the Force is because there is life, right? That's why there's the Force. That's the kind of way that I treat it. But yeah, this one is here. It's on Earth in this 2017 movie, and it's under a Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, this movie has some of the most egregious product integration that really has maybe ever been. I mean, Michael Bay films are known for having them too, but in this one, it becomes a major plot point. Krispy Kreme obviously gave them a lot of money because not only is Krispy Kreme said, you have Krispy Kreme, they have shots where Krispy Kreme's behind them. You have a scene where the villain eats a Krispy Kreme donut. Mm-hmm. You can clearly see these are all contractual things. Like, no, there's someone's got to eat it. You have a kind of cool scene in the montage of them becoming friends of Trini and Kimberly, like, in the Krispy Kreme, like, hanging out, they're like, I don't know what they're doing. They're like fighting with, like, donuts. You know, and the Zeo stone is under the Krispy Kreme
this whole time. Yeah,
and that's what Rita wants to take over or kill. I don't know what she wants.
That's why Krispy Kreme is so fucking good, because there's a Zeo crystal underneath it.
Yeah,
you know, that's the secret. Yeah, I think she wants to use the Zeo crystal to basically, like, take over the universe.
Okay,
I don't know what her fucking motivations are. Yeah. But, you know, I want to bring this up, too, while we're talking about morphing and Rita and Zeo crystals and shit. My daughter had this great question while we were watching the movie. So when they go to morph, they're all standing together in a circle and they're all trying to morph together. Right. It's not working. And my daughter's like, where's the spot for Rita?
Right. No, she's right. Because, and he even says, like, there's five of you. And it's like, but where's Rita? Also, where's Rita's Zord?
Right. Right, the Dragon Zord.
It doesn't totally make sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay ultimately, you know, because, you know, we can just wave past it. But
well, it sets up a sequel very well, because it allows you to go, okay, then she'll just, well, at the end, she's, spoiler alert, in the end, she's thrown into space and you see the moon behind her, which gives you the impression that she's going to land on the moon, like, and the make a base there, like in the original series. but you get the idea. Well, there's a post or mid credit scene where they introduce Tommy, but you don't see him, but you hear, like, them call his name.
Right.
The attendants in detention.
Right.
And so it makes it more set. Like, she'll just make him the Green Ranger.
Right. It's a shame, because I would have loved to have seen that happen. I would have loved to have seen the Green Ranger of this kind of version, and I would have loved to have seen, you know, Rita keep going,
or Zed of this version.
Oh my god, that would have been so cool. Yeah, I'm a huge Zed fan.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Somebody should just like Boom should just put out another series just of this continuity.
I think there might actually be that. I think that might exist. Yeah, yeah. One thing, speaking of Boom, right, is that the movie we covered last week and this movie are both considered out of the continuity of Power Rangers.
Yeah.
And so all of Power Rangers has been this one continuity since like the early 90s, which is, that just blows my mind, right? That it's ongoing story. And so I think that that's one of the reasons why people weren't into it, just because it's not that continuity. It does use all the aspects of Power Rangers, though. It doesn't really shift anything besides making Rita that Green Ranger.
Right. And they make her more scary, which is good.
Yeah.
They make it, I like how they do Zordon. Instead of just being like a head in a tube, he's like in the wall. Like the effect of like, I don't know how you describe it. It's like that toy with the pins that you could like put your hand in at like Spencer Gifts. Like that's his face. Like his face is like coming out of the wall.
Yeah.
And they kind of make Zordon, he's not like Mr. Nice Guy in this. Like he's kind of a dick.
Yes. Yeah. The idea is that somehow he can come back to life when all the Rangers morph together. They never really explain what's going to happen if not they do that. Clear. Right. But the idea, Jason figures it out that like Zordon will be able to be physical again. And, he makes the choice, you know, because they do kill Billy, which that was sort of shocking when that happened. Rita kills Billy. And it's funny because they play a cover of Stand By Me.
Yeah, I know. It's
But the thing is, right, Billy's death is important for this movie because Billy is kind of the heart of this movie.
Right.
So that really sets up that third act because, or, you know, that low point at the end of the second act is his death.
And the morphing grid opens and Alpha's like, okay, Zordon, you can come back to life now. And Zordon lets Billy come back to life.
Right. And you know, it's very similar if you think about it to the Avengers. Like you remember in the Avengers, they kind of have a problem as a team. They can't work together.
Yeah.
And then Coulson gets killed by Loki and that's what brings them together.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like what Billy's death
Absolutely,
is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you've got that scene of them like, the Power Rangers like walking towards the camera, like in slow-mo. Like,
yes. It almost kind of like The Right Stuff. It's like that movie, The Right Stuff. Yeah. That's after they finally morph. Yeah. It's a very satisfying moment when they morph and when they get to use their Zords and stuff too.
Yeah.
Let's see. The Zords, they even come up with a reason why the Zords are like dinosaurs and creatures like that. They said it's because they take on the form of the most powerful creatures on the planet. I like that.
Yeah. Right. And it was, they came when they were dinosaurs.
Right.
They make a lot of it make sense. I like the visuals. I like that everything revolving around Zordon is all like kind of liquid and nanotechnology and sort of like nebulas. Like Alpha's head is kind of like a nebula with like a ring around it. And even like the Power Rangers themselves in their suits, they have like the diamond on their chest that like it's moving. It's like a nebula. It's very cool. I like how everything's very liquid and stuff. I really like the design of things in this movie. I like the ship design. I like the idea that they like stand in that circle to morph and stuff. You know, a lot of the things that like basically happen in an instant in that pilot, you think about like the pilot episodes, like 21 minutes, a lot happens really quickly. And in this movie, like they kind of treat it like, you know, how would this be? You know, like,
right.
You know, I wouldn't call it realistic, but it at least gets into what's there. It works with what's there.
Yes, I agree. It you bring up a really good point that they try to make sense out of all this madness, right? Because on one of my channels, I interviewed the guy that directed and made Psycho Goreman, which is this great, fun little movie that kind of makes fun of Power Rangers type stuff in it, but it's a horror movie. And he said that, remember in the interview, he said that this kind of Sentai stuff, the stuff that Power Rangers is based upon, is much more just based on design. It's just to be evocative. It's not necessarily to have a function or to make sense, right? And so that's
a lot of Japanese popular culture.
Right, exactly.
Like Hello Kitty, like that's not really a character. It's just an image.
Yeah, and meanwhile, like middle-aged white guys like us would be like, well, the cat's head is that big because it's an advanced creature, right? And so that's what they do with this movie. They try to like take this like thing that's just aesthetically supposed to be exciting and just the design's supposed to be compelling, and then rationalize it and make it organic, right? Because that's what this movie is. Even though they're all metal and it's like nanotech, it's still got this kind of organic feel.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, like, they show close-ups of them morphing, and it seems like it's literally coming out of their skin.
Yeah, which is kind of ironic because by the time you get to Endgame with the Avengers, Tony Stark has that sort of nanotech armor, and it looks like that. Right?
Kevin Feige stole it right from the Power Rangers movie.
That fucking asshole.
You know, something different is, in the original series, you kind of get the idea that Angel Grove is almost like L.A. It's like a metropolitan place, whereas in this, it's a small fishing community.
Yeah,
which I kind of like that.
I always kind of thought of it as like Sydney, Australia.
Yeah, it's certainly that in the first movie.
Yeah, yeah. No. they totally see. To me, that's why I felt like this was very much inspired by Chronicle. Because it looks
Because I haven't seen Chronicle, actually.
Is that because do you not like what's his face?
I don't like him, but it's not why I didn't see it. I just haven't seen it.
Oh, okay.
Landis,
I think it's worth
Max
it.
Max Landis.
Yeah. I highly recommend it. You know, my wife kind of hates superhero movies, right? But she really likes Chronicle. It's really well done. And I don't know if you're a fan of Dane DeHaan. I know he's pretty awful in Amazing Spider-Man 2, but he's really good in that. You know. I think that was just, they were trying to get that Chronicle vibe because Chronicle takes place in this exact type of town.
And
they're doing stuff in Chronicle that's like this, where, like, you know what, that scene where they jump across that chasm.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of seemed like Chronicle, where it's like you're kind of watching it like as if it was like a YouTube video or something, you know?
Okay. Yeah. See, yeah. I really like that stuff in this movie. Cause again, originally they're like perfect teenagers, and then they just become Power Rangers because they're perfect. And in this, it's like they're having fun with the idea that, like, now they have powers, you know, and them becoming friends and learning about each other is a big bulk of the no pun intended, a big bulk of the drama. You know, like, even though it's corny, I really like the campfire scene where they're like getting to know each other.
Absolutely.
And it's like, it like really works because it's like, yeah, it makes, it was just a smart choice to, like, not have them be friends already.
Yeah, I 100% agree. That campfire scene feels very genuine. The acting is really good, and it legitimately seems like teenagers having a conversation like that. Whereas the movie that we just discussed, everything seems artificial. All the lines.
Right.
You could take Rocky's line and put it in Adam's mouth. You could take a line from Kimberly and put it in Aisha's mouth.
Because it's all puns anyway.
Right.
Kimberly calls Ivan, who's Raisin Head. Anybody could do that.
Yeah, exactly. I think this one's kind of light on puns too, right? I don't think they say puns in this at all.
I can't think of a single pun. Think of a single pun.
One thing that stands out to me is in that battle with the Zords, Jason runs over with his Zord, he runs over a Mustang and he says, "Sorry, Bumblebee."
Yeah. I wonder if that was like a trailer moment. Like, let's put that in the trailer.
Probably. But I think it's absolutely like, because Transformers were still kind of big at that time, those movies.
Well, I like that you see them training.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like that you see that it hurts and it's hard.
Yeah.
Even when they first get their Zords, I like that they don't know exactly how to use them.
Yeah.
And even when they become the Megazord, they're like, wait, who moves this leg? They don't know what they're doing. It's kind of cool to just, all this stuff that is never given a single thought in the show.
Yeah.
They make something out of it.
Absolutely. And it's cool. They train with Alpha, right?
At one point,
Alpha's fighting. He's not just some guy that's like kind of having anxiety about what's going on in the control room.
Right. You know, he's kind of funny. I like Bill Hader's performance there. He says I twice. It's fine. You know, he says some funny things like when they're training, he's like, "You guys know you could die, right?" Like his thing is kind of like he doesn't understand humans at all.
Yeah.
Like there's a point where he's like, "Why are you all looking at each other? Is that a human thing?"
Yeah.
He actually really liked the way they do Alpha. They only play the theme song once.
That's true. That's when they have the Zords.
And it's the recording from the first movie, the movie we talked about last week. It's not a new recording, which makes me feel like they didn't want it at all. And then the studio is like, you got to put it somewhere. It's got to be in there somewhere.
I would not be surprised. Yeah, that sounds right.
Did you see this film in the theater?
I did not.
I saw it in the theater opening night, and it was a bunch of people like me, and people cheered at that part.
Nice, man. Nice.
Like, it was a big theater moment of like, yeah, this is awesome, because they get their Zords, and it's a recreation of the shot, that famous shot of the Zords going through the desert toward their goal.
Yeah.
And Alpha says, go, go, Power Rangers.
Yeah. I think that I wish I'd been there for the scene when the Zords fall into the pit where the Zeo Crystal is. And then they come out as the Megazord.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I think that by that point, Pacific Rim had come out. And so we had seen kind of kaiju battles.
Right.
And I saw Pacific Rim in the theaters. And
that's almost a perfect Power Rangers movie, Pacific Rim.
Yeah, no kidding. Right, yeah. Yeah, the way that they handle the Jaegers when they're inside of them is very similar to Power. Absolutely.
100%. Right.
But what I was going to say was that there is a difference between seeing a movie like this or just on my TV screen, my kid, versus seeing it in the theater. And I hope that in future versions of the Power Rangers, you have that kind of Pacific Rim type action.
Yes. You know, I was thinking to myself today, I like this movie a lot, but how could I make it more appealing to a wider audience?
Okay.
And I think I would have more fighting, and I think I would have them morph earlier. I like the film as it is. I like that they don't morph until that moment. For me, that works. Mm-hmm. But I just thinking about how I can increase its popularity or make it, you know, make it less of a bomb in the box office. I think you would need more superhero-y stuff, I think.
That is a really, I do this often. I do this where I try to think of how would I make the movie better, or like what decisions would I make?
Right.
And
I'm not making it better. I'm making it more marketable, right? Okay, I think it's good as it is. I'm just,
right.
Because I look at it and I go, why is this a bomb? I really don't get it. Like, this is not worse than a lot of other things.
No.
I mean, like,
no.
So it's like, it's sometimes, I mean, there's a whole science to it, but sometimes I think there's not. Sometimes I think things come out and it's just not the right weekend. And that's it, because I really feel like this film shouldn't be a bomb. It really shouldn't.
I mean, honestly, I agree with you. I do think that it is like the timing and when it came out. I wonder if it had come out now, people appreciate it more. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes the combination of things bothers people, though, because I think that like it's a little too far out there with like Rita. Maybe change Rita.
For right? sure. Yeah.
Like, I like that she's the Green Ranger, but, like, why don't you make her not, like, going and getting gold and squeezing it and making
right,
it into...
Right, right,
like, but instead, like, almost make her, like, the Terminator or something where she's trying to get something, and she's very quiet. I feel like either make her real silly and fun or make her scary or not...
Right,
in
right, right. She's kind of in between. She's kind of a little silly.
Yeah.
And a little serious, but it's like, if you make her more serious and less making jokes and shit, it all, you know, her best scene is when they're at the dock and she's got them all tied up and she kills Billy. That's probably her most menacing scene. You know, everything with her at the end, it's just a lot of like, she says, make my monster grow. And it's just a lot of that shit. She's eating Krispy Kreme. You know, it's not that good. You know, she is probably the element that works the least, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And that might change the movie and make it a better movie in general and make the audiences like it a lot more.
I guess we could kind of like wrap this up by... I really like this movie.
Yes.
And I think, you know, a couple years later, I thought, you know, am I still going to like it? I actually saw it twice in the theater. And I thought, maybe I won't like it so much now. I think a good way to end this is to say, not so much how would you change this movie, but what do you think their next step is? Because I know they're going to reboot it as either a show or a movie. What do you, given the failure of this version, how do you reboot it again?
That's a great question. And they are going to reboot it, like you said.
Of course.
But I think they're going to make it a movie and a show. That's kind of a new thing that they're doing because, you know, like you have Disney Plus and, you know, the Marvel shows and stuff and Star Wars. I think that that's the direction everyone's going. And I know that with Power Rangers, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to have a live action show and they're trying to have a movie too. I'm not sure if it's going to be like the same Rangers in both. And it'll probably be like this where it's like, you know, it's Jason and Trini and Kimberly again.
I wonder if that's not a good idea. Maybe she just take the very general idea
right
and do that.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to say, right? Because there are times when we get bothered because, like, oh, we really like the Michael Keaton version of Batman. And then when they come and bring somebody new and we're like, oh, this isn't as good. Then they have Christian Bale and it's, right. you know, The Dark Knight and stuff like that. Then we're like, oh, that's the best version of Batman. When it comes to live action versions of Power Rangers stuff and even these movies,
yeah.
there's certainly room for improvement. So if they do it right, I think it's okay, even if it's the same characters, same story, but if they just do it the best way. One of the most recent examples of Power Rangers is this show called Beast Morphers, and I brought it up on your show a couple of times. It's not the current one, but it's the one right before it. And they treat it like they're almost like a military unit, and that the military unit gets stuff from the morphing grid, and that's how they make their Power Rangers. Uh-huh. And they even have the stuff called Morph X, which like they inject into things to give it like morphing powers. And I feel like, I think that if you kind of just keep morphing in it, keep giant monsters, so that's in all of them, yeah. right? And the suits and all that kind of stuff. But you do change things to where it's not like, oh, the power crystals, and you can have Zordon, but like make it something else, or make it like an alien, right, you know, right. like just make it more realistic, but still fun. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess the other question that we should talk about, which is in my head always until the day I die, which is what would the sequel have looked like? Clearly, they were going to do the Green Ranger arc with Tommy Oliver.
Yeah. But
is it going to be Rita again? Are they going to bring in Zordon? What's going to happen? Are they going to make a love triangle between Kimberly, Jason, and Tommy? You know, I think now that they can morph and now that they can fight, I think the second movie had potential to be really good. It's almost like Superman 2. Like I wish it had happened, because I think it would have been a really good sequel.
Yeah. I think what would have been smart for them would have been to not bring Zed in yet, right? Mm-hmm. Like and to just do that whole Green Ranger arc, because many Power Rangers fans consider that to be like the definitive Power Ranger arc. When Tommy's first introduced and he's the Green Ranger, Zed's not there yet, you know?
Right.
And so just like have him be the bad guy, infiltrate that group of friends. And like in the actual Power Rangers show, Tommy's kind of like an outsider to that group. He doesn't really infiltrate them.
Yeah.
In this movie, he could infiltrate them and kind of play them against each other so they're not able to morph, right? And then maybe he gets into the command center and messes it up.
Right. He could hook up with Kimberly and be like, what's the matter, Jason? You're not man enough. And then they could fight.
Yeah. And then Jason's like, oh, I can't morph. Oh, right. And then have him get the Dragon Zord, which could like fight their Megazord, you know? And then maybe at the very end, he turns against Rita, and Rita has some other major threat for them to face, and then bring in Lord Zed in the third one.
Or to tie it all back into last week's episode, you bring Ivan Ooze in.
Oh no.
But like he's like a dark Ivan Ooze.
Okay.
He murders Rita like right away. Like she has one scene, he just kills her in cold blood.
Yes.
And now all he's right. scary.
Okay, I like that. Yeah.
He's played by like what's his name? The fucking dude who played Zod, and he's in Michael Shannon. Shannon. Michael Shannon is Ivan Ooze.
Jesus. Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's fucking beautiful though, and like he couldn't be called Ivan Ooze because that's too silly. It just has to be like he's Ivan or something.
Yeah.
No, but you know, it'd be kind of cool. I like that. I like riffing on that because Rita gets knocked into space, and she was a Power Ranger, right? So she knows about these criminals and things. Maybe she goes and she frees Ivan Ooze.
Because
that's good. I like that, man.
Yeah.
I'm after this episode, I'm going to go look up Boom Studios to see if they made like a sequel comic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, fantastic. Peter, thank you so much for being here and for coming on again and talk about Power Rangers.
Dude, I love it. I think that like on your show, I'm becoming like the Power Rangers guy. And then on my show, you're like the Star Wars guy.
The High Republic
guy. The High Republic guy. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And since you bring that up, we should say that me and Peter have been doing slowly, but we've been talking about the High Republic books. And Peter, why don't you tell us where we can get that stuff?
Yeah. So I'm a lunatic and I have three YouTube channels. The one that Mike is referring to is currently called Comic Books Transformed. And it's a channel that I basically put all of my like sci-fi comic book stuff into one channel. So it's Comic Books Transformed. And it has the episodes of me and Mike talking about the Star Wars High Republic books.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike and I, in a couple of weeks, are going to record
right.
called Into the Dark. Right, and that's right. by Claudia Gray, who Mike's a big fan of.
Yeah. So, yeah. And High Republic, if you're not familiar with it, High Republic is this whole new part of Star Wars. It's this whole new initiative. And it's been very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have, Comic Books Transformed is one YouTube channel I have. The main one that I started was Anchor Pete. That's the name I go by on YouTube.
Yes.
And then last but not least, I have a horror one with my friend Danny, and it's just called Horror Dads. And that's because we're both dads and nice. We watch horror movies. Yeah. Yeah. I think you can actually hear my kids like walking in the background.
Peter, thank you so much for being here. We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.